My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we're back with our U.S. Championships preview.
Yes. I can't believe it's here already.
I know. I'm excited. I had to make some changes to my travel plans due to a New England snowstorm. So I'm getting there a day later than I had planned, but I should still be there in plenty of time for novice pattern dances that start in the evening. So I am excited about that. And I'm glad to not be worrying about, will my flight take off? Won't it take off? What the roads will be like when I'm driving? Because I usually fly out of Boston and I take a bus out of New Hampshire. And in the middle of the night, who knows? Because I was going to be taking a 7 a.m. flight.
Yeah, I think the weather is having an impact on a lot of people heading to Wichita. Right now, knock on wood, the weather for us should be okay. We're just supposed to get really, really cold and some snow here. But I know down south is supposed to get snow, and D.C. is supposed to get snow, and you guys in New England. So, yeah, so everyone who is heading to Wichita, safe travels. Hope your flights and everything is on time. And we're keeping our fingers crossed we get to our destination safely as well and don't encounter too many travel headaches or nightmares.
I'm not really sure. This is a little bit different because normally when I'm flying anywhere, I usually can get a direct flight out of Boston, but I just couldn't get one to Wichita.
Wichita is not the easiest to fly to. For me, I always expect that I have to take a connecting flight because I'm not in the biggest area. So thankfully, there were flights there I was going to have two layovers, and I thankfully only have one layover for both there and back. So that's good, and again, I just hope the weather's good all across the board for everyone, and if anyone's changed flights, again, hopefully everybody gets there safely. I know athletes are already on their way. We're recording this Sunday, so the juniors and the novice kids are probably on their way there, if they're not already there, and I'm sure others will be following suit soon. It's here. And to point out, we have two episodes this week. This is the Nationals preview, so you're not going to hear us talk about Canadians. You're not going to hear us talk about anything else that went on. We left that to Matteo.
Yes.
So Matteo will have his own episode recapping everything else for you as well. So there's two episodes this week. And then, of course, as we've said, stay tuned for episodes from Wichita. I think as soon as we're done recording, we might try to look at the schedule and map out some times that we think we can record. But, you know, you never know what ends up happening when you're there. Things can always change. And so, but maybe if we have a little tentative plan, that may help us as well.
Yeah. So the novice and junior competitors will be starting on Tuesday, with novice pairs being the first event to kick things off, followed by junior pairs, junior men, and novice pattern dance and junior rhythm dance will end the day. All of those competitors will have official practices on Monday, so hopefully that they're all there at this point.
And the practices are in both the main and the practice rink starting Monday. And just to point out again, about the practice rink. That's the Wichita Ice Center. It hasn't come out like publicly, but it's out there on the web that practices are closed to the public. So no fans will be allowed. No, we're not allowed as media to any of the practices in the Wichita Ice Center. I know that for a lot of people, that's upsetting because they come early and like to see practices. You can see practices in the Intrust Bank Arena. So any practices there, if you've looked at the colored schedule and you look at the where it says main, anytime there's practice in the main rink, you can see that. But the ones that are in the practice rink, which is the Wichita Ice Center, are closed. And I know people, again, have been speculating, well, there seems to be seats there. Why can't they have fans there? And the reason we've been told is because of security reasons. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but hopefully people who enjoy watching practices will at least get to see some of them in the main rink.
The main rink, of course, is the Intrust Arena, which isn't very far from the practice arena, which is great for the athletes, the parents, and the coaches to be able to get back and forth. It's great to have that centrally located like that. It is different to not have practices open to fans and the public, but I feel like over the past couple of years, it's been moving in that direction. There have been situations previously where practices at certain arenas were closed off to the public, and so I think this is something we're all going to have to adjust to. I mean, we did report it last week for any fans who may be headed to the competition that were thinking they would get to attend practices over at the Wichita Ice Center. We wanted to let you know that so that you could adjust your plans if you wanted to.
And I believe our friend Jackie is going to be doing a practice cam, and I believe that would be on Peacock. Just not sure if that's going to be from the Wichita Ice Center or just from the main rink. I'm guessing it's going to be the main, but I didn't know if maybe he got special permission with Peacock to record there. We have not been able to reach out to him. He's been busy traveling.
Yes.
And he hasn't said anything yet. And I don't know if I've seen it on Peacock yet, but I will be honest. When I go to a competition, I rarely look at like what's going on Peacock or the TV schedule or anything like that. So it may be already appearing on your menu on Peacock. And again, because I don't care what's on Peacock right now. So, but I will check because I should look because I'm not going to be there for juniors on Tuesday. So I do want to watch some of the juniors before I go. So I should check out Peacock. So maybe the practice cam stuff is already up there. Again, I just haven't been checking. I've been busy packing and getting everything ready to go and not looking at, okay, what time is everything on? But while we're talking about the schedule, we should talk about that Saturday schedule.
Yes.
That neither one of us is looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed. This happens from time to time, not every year, but it seems like it happens every so often that likely due to the TV scheduling, the competitive events are broken into parts in order for the TV stations to be able to showcase the final flights of competition. So on Saturday, and we're talking about this Saturday, which is the 25th, the men's event kicks things off first, starting at 9:58 a.m.
Early!
Yes.
Oh, we have an early Saturday morning.
I think that's the earliest day for me of the week.
It is the earliest day for everything, I feel.
Yeah, I'm pacing myself because I did have COVID a couple of weeks ago and I'm still dealing with some fatigue. So I'm pacing myself during the week to make sure that I can make it through the week. So the Championship Men's Short Program Competition Groups 1 and 2 start off at 9:58 a.m. on Saturday. Then we have an ice make, and then the free dance groups 1 and 2 start at 11:50. Then there's another resurface, and then we have the championship men's short program group 3 starting at 1:36, followed by a resurface, and then the free dance group 3 starting at 2:38, followed by the awards for dance. The interesting thing about this, especially when it pertains to ice dance, is, as we'll talk about later as we go through the different disciplines, ice dance is very competitive, and the chances that a team that could be in a medal position ends up in group 2, I mean, it very well could happen, because there are some teams that will be very close. Mm-hmm. And it's not unlikely that things will shift around in the free dance. So it's kind of hard to have this split schedule like this. And also thinking about the men's event, someone from who skated earlier could conceivably be in the top 5 or 6, and they're not part of it.
Yeah, well, with the men is what is interesting. It's with the dance being split. The dance is the free dance. Mm-hmm. With the men, it's the short program. So we've always been used to a random draw for the men's short program. And I actually questioned first right off the bat. I was like, well, wait a minute. If we're doing a random draw, then how do we guarantee that the top guys are going to be in that last group? Because somebody like Ilya could be in that either group 1 or group 2 and skating at 9:50 something in the morning. And they're not doing the random draw. It's in a reverse order of world standings. So mm-hmm. Ilya would be last. That draw has been, I think we've gotten rid of the draws now at the national championships. So that was what I was curious, because as soon as I saw the split with the free dance and the men, I was like, well, how are we doing it for a short program when it's so random? But now it's not. But it's still just so interesting to me. I remember a nationals like this where it was split. And I think it was with pairs and dance mostly, not men. And I just, it's so weird because you got to take, the judges have to change from men to dance, and we're going, okay, you know, like me focus wise, I have my sheets for the men, and then I got to switch and I got to go to dance, and then I got to go back to men. I just wish it was just, like, it went one event at a time.
It would definitely be much easier if it was all around, especially logistically.
Yeah.
Also for coaches and the competitors.
Everybody, yeah.
Because this is a national championships. Having it split up, it does kind of make it disjointed and and a bit disrupted, like, if you think about it.
And I want to know how tickets are with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if people just, okay, I know all event ticket holders get everything, but what if, like, somebody in Wichita wants to go see the men? I mean, like, they got dance in between. How does that work? Again, I don't know ticket things, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. Do they just get a ticket for men, or are they getting dance included? You know, if you guys are into the ticket things, you can let me know how this goes. But I don't know. I'm like, I haven't even looked up it because I'm not purchasing tickets. But I'm like, how do you, oh, I want to go see the men. I want to see this Ilya that everyone's talking about. And then, but wait a minute. It goes 9 to 11. And then, okay, then there's dance. But then the rest of the men is this time. How does it all work? But
okay, so according to the ticket site.
Okay. Oh, okay.
There are 2 different sessions. There are men's short and championship free dance groups 1 and 2. And then championship men's short group 3 and free dance group 3 sold separately.
What?
Yeah.
So if you want to see all of the men, you have to get 2 tickets.
Yes.
Well, then.
I'm not going to dive into the ticket site, but I'm wondering if people buy tickets and end up in a different seat for the second
half.
Yeah,
I would guess.
Yeah. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
I totally understand wanting to air things live. It's just logistically, it's cumbersome and difficult to manage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting with the tickets, though, because, again, if you want to see one of those events completely, you got to buy two tickets.
And that wasn't how it was set up before, because remember, things weren't split.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Just Dance was split.
Was first, okay, yeah.
And now both of them are split. So I don't know what things look like. Maybe one of our listeners knows, like, what it was like before. If any of you guys out there bought tickets ahead of time and had them just for the championship men's short program, what's happened with your tickets? Let us know, because we're interested, you know?
Or I'm interested in anybody who is purchasing tickets and for just, they're going to be coming Saturday and they want to see just men, or did they have to buy? Are they buying two tickets? I'm just kind of, that's another question. I don't know if they did a weekend package or whatever, but it's still a lot of things with this split schedule. You know, it's not just, again, TV. It impacts a lot of different things, and tickets is one of them.
And as someone who has planned events from while at previous jobs that I've held, it's fascinating to me to be able to implement something like this. Because I've had roadblocks and workarounds for different events and presentations, and how you would attack this and tackle it is fascinating to me. So let's move on. I wanted to point out that this is the second year that we're getting the novice pairs, the top four novice pairs, top five ice dance teams. We had a joined nationals starting, I think it was in 2013, where juveniles, intermediates joined the novice, junior, and seniors at the big U.S. championships. Before that, juvenile and intermediate were part of what was called junior nationals. It took place in December. Fast forward to 2020, and the decision was made to carve out juvenile, intermediate, and novice were pulled also. And they decided to offer instead this competitive pipeline in favor of pushing them into this high performance development camp. And the reasoning behind that was, one of the reasons that was brought up is that sometimes a skater was being held back at intermediate, even though they might have been like a middle of the pack novice skater, but they were held down to intermediate because they had a chance to win like the gold medal. That was one of the things. They wanted to encourage strategic development, pushing and growing skaters to reach their full potential. And so this new competitive pipeline was supposed to do that. Now, since 2020, the top two novice competitors at each section in men's and women's singles were allowed to come to the U.S. Championships and compete at the junior level in the junior events. And for novice pairs and dance, that left a big hole because they also really needed that competitive experience. But the way that dance and pairs work, it's just not safe or easily translated across the two. And so last year, it was recognized that there was a need for this to happen. And so the top four novice pairs and the top five novice teams were re-added to the U.S. Championships. And their events are usually held right with the discipline. So like novice pairs, those four novice pairs will compete their short program, and then the junior pairs will skate right after. And same thing with dance, with pattern dances and rhythm dance and free dance like that. And I just wanted to point out, I think it's incredibly important for these athletes to get this opportunity to compete at nationals at this level to be exposed to the junior competitors and have the opportunity to interact and watch the competition, because usually those skaters at the top of novice will be moving up to junior the next year. It's really important for them to kind of get to experience this before they're thrust onto the international scene without having been at a competition like this. And so I was really pleased when last year this was implemented, and I'm so happy that it's continuing, because those competitors really need this opportunity. So I'm excited. Over at IDC, Anne did a preview on the top five novice ice dance teams that are going to be in Wichita, and it came out really great. There's, you know, lots of quotes from the competitors and gives the audience a chance to get to know them a little bit as we head into the U.S. Championships this week.
Yeah. And we didn't hear much this year about the camp, if camp is after nationals in Wichita. Usually, don't they post the list of skaters going to camp? Mm-hmm. I didn't see it this year.
I did not see it either.
Okay. But yeah. Because usually we always see, I hate to say it, the campers, but we always see the skaters going to the camp. They're usually there to watch some of nationals, and then their camp is like right then afterwards, mm-hmm. somewhere in the area. But this one has been kind of quiet. We haven't heard too much, or again, normally they publish the list of all of the skaters going, and haven't seen much of that. Another thing with nationals that we wanted to point out is every year we induct new members to the U.S. Figure Skating Hall of Fame, and that will be taking place on Saturday before the pairs free skate. And the class of 2025 for the Hall of Fame this year is Albertina Noyes, Renee Rocha, Robert Horan, and Atoy Wilson. So if you're there at the arena, get there a little bit before the pairs start. They usually do it right on the ice. They come out, and then, of course, there is the Hall of Fame dinner. I would assume it's that night. It's not at the arena. It's off-site somewhere, and there are tickets available for that. If you're interested in that, we can put the link in the show notes for that. I also want to mention, because I know when you get to nationals, I know for me at least, it's, well, where are there places to go get food other than eating food at
the arena?
The arena, which I did look up the food in the arena. Jackie will be okay. There are chicken tenders. But I think I saw a Qdoba is in the arena.
Really?
I thought I saw that. Watch, it won't be open, but I did look up. There were, you know, some food options. But, of course, I always like to try to find something nearby. And I've been seeing this on social media, but Homegrown Downtown Wichita, they have multiple locations, this restaurant, is celebrating nationals with a menu inspired by Brian Boitano's cookbook, which is What Would Brian Boitano Make? I looked it up. The restaurant is 0.3 miles from the arena. So, not a far walk if you would like to take a walk and go check it out. The one photo I saw looked like it was a Pop-Tart that looked really interesting. And then the one was a grilled cheese and butternut squash soup, which butternut squash soup is one of my favorites. So I'm I'm going to need to go check that out.
I do like that too.
Yes. So, if you're in Wichita, definitely go check out Homegrown if you want a menu inspired by Brian Boitano. And in the arena, this is not food, but a certain skater pointed out during his media call that he wants people to go check out his merchandise, and that would be Ilya Malinin, has merchandise in the concourse in Wichita. And he really, again, he told the media, go check out my merchandise. So make sure when you're walking around the concourse to go check out Ilya Malinin's merchandise. I'm sure there's some Quad God sweatshirts and sweatpants. I think I saw a couple things online. So if you're an Ilya fan and want some of his merch, go check it out. And I'm sure, yeah, there'll be others around and about, of course, all the skate companies and things like that on the concourse. And I know Boston Worlds will be there trying to sell tickets to Boston. So if you don't have your Worlds tickets yet and you want to go get your Worlds tickets, and I believe St. Louis will be there selling Nationals tickets. So definitely make sure you're walking around and checking out the things on the concourse. That's part of my routine, is an ice resurfacing. If I have time and I'm not down interviewing someone, I take my laps around the concourse. So you can most likely see me walking around the concourse. But so Daphne, should we move on to talk about the actual skating now?
I think that we should.
All right. Well, we're going to do this in a little different of an order than we normally do. I think when we do ours, we usually go men, women, pairs, dance. We're going to go in the order of how the event will conclude. So women will be the first to end. And then we have free dance ends on Saturday afternoon. Pairs final is Saturday night. And then the men are on Sunday. So that's the order we're going in. So we're going to kick it off here with the women. Of course, the news came out. I don't know if it was a surprise to a lot of fans. I know I wasn't surprised by it just because she withdrew from her events, her second Grand Prix this season. But Isabeau Lovito has withdrawn due to a foot injury, so she will not be in Wichita. It does sound from media articles that I read that she is going to petition for a world spot. So that's something that'll be in the back of probably everyone's heads as they compete at Nationals, because really, even though it has always been the body of work, and it's not just placements that determine who goes to four continents and who goes to Worlds, I think this is going to be like, if you're second or third, it doesn't necessarily mean you're guaranteed to go to Worlds. So it's gonna, especially with her possibly petitioning, that throws it in there. But I have been saying from the get-go that this women's event is going to be the most exciting, regardless of Isabeau not being there. It's still going to be a really good event. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Amber Glenn comes in as the defending champion. She is the reigning Grand Prix final champion. She is the one everybody's been, you know, talking about. I mean, she's showing up on TV stations and the Today Show right now. So she's getting a lot of attention. We had a media call with her a couple days ago, and she talked about how four previous U.S. champions are competing, which is interesting. If you look at all the other disciplines, you're not going to have as many in any of the fields. Men have two, but then everybody else is only has one. So that's incredible in itself. But then she also made sure to talk about the newcomers, and she really kind of said this is an exciting time for the U.S. women. And she's feeling really confident and ready for Nationals. So hoping she's going to just keep that trek that she's made this season and take it in to Nationals. And then of these, you know, other U.S. champions, Alyssa Liu is returning to Nationals for the first time since 2022. And in 2022, she didn't actually compete the whole event. She only competed half the event because COVID affected her there, and she was not able to compete the free skate, but was named to the Olympic team. Now, she was fourth and sixth at her Grand Prix events, but won both of her challengers, Budapest and Golden Spin. So I feel like Alyssa is one we have to watch for, and I see her definitely being on the podium. Now, Brady Tennell, another U.S. champion, is back after missing last season. Brady was fifth at both Grand Prix events and finished third at Golden Spin last month. So she was right behind Alyssa. So I don't like to make predictions, but I feel like those are the three that a lot of people are watching. But you can't count out these newcomers. Sarah Everhart, who was last year's U.S. pewter medalist. She looks to be on the podium as well. She had a really good Grand Prix season, and she just missed the podium at both of her events, fourth and fifth. Elise Lynn Gracie has the second highest ISU season's best total score right now. So she has an even higher total score than Alyssa and Brady, can definitely make it up on the podium. So it's going to be a really exciting group to watch. Senior debuts, we have Alina Bonello, Logan Higgis-Chen, Sherry Jang. So those are the three making their senior debuts. We have others to watch. You can watch Alexa Gasparato, who actually is replacing a skater who withdrew. I believe she is replacing Ava Ziegler. We have to watch and see if she's going to try the triple axel. So another competitor who may bring out the triple axel. So I'm really excited for this event. I'm really excited for the women. I cannot predict who is going to be on the podium. I just know with that possible petitioning for a world spot, you really have to bring your A game to nationals and get on that top spot, because then you're guaranteed a spot for worlds. But I feel like it's anyone's game, yeah. Really. It's just going to be exciting. So if you don't have a ticket for the women's event, I'm going to tell you, go get a ticket for the women's event, because it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's highly competitive. Lots of things can happen. And it's definitely going to be exciting in Wichita to see all of that happen in front of us.
Yeah.
So moving on to dance, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are our 5-time U.S. champions. Winning a 6th title would tie them with Merrill Davis and Charlie White. They did have a rougher start at Skate America, but they came back and won an NHK trophy. They won the Grand Prix final. They've showed that they're back at the level that we expect, or at least they're getting there. One thing about their rhythm dance, they started with 11 different songs. I think they're down to 7 now, which I think fits pretty well. And who knows? I mean, they may have fine-tuned it even more since the Grand Prix final. So we'll be checking that out. I remember last year when we were at Nationals, they skated probably a free dance that I wasn't expecting of them, but they were both very sick, and it ended up they were 2nd in the free dance. And I think that had shocked everybody, but again, the performance was not up to what we expected. Christina Carrera, Anthony Ponomarenko, they won the silver medal at Nationals last year. They won the free dance at the U.S. Championships. First alternates to the Grand Prix final based on a silver medal at NHK Trophy and a bronze at Cup of China. They were 3rd in the final ISU standings for the Challenger Series. Bronze medalists at 4 continents last year and 7th at Worlds, I think. They've shown a lot of maturity this season, and they continue to evolve. I think they're in the right training place for them. And so I think that they're pretty solid in the silver medal position. But again, the ice is slippery. You just don't know. So we'll see what happens. Then Emily Braddy, Ian Somerville. This is their 4th season as a team. They won the bronze medal at the U.S. Championships last year in a bit of a surprise. They kind of came out like gangbusters at the event and just really, they shined at U.S. Nationals last year. They won a Grand Prix medal at Grand Prix de France after a disappointing 9th at Skate Canada. Silver medalist at Talon Trophy and 6th in the standings for the ISU Challenger Series. They kept last year's free dance to Nemec Te Pa by Celine Dion, so we'll get to see that again. As long as they skate up to what they're capable of, I think that they'll definitely be in the mix for it. Emily Azingis and Vadim Kolesnik, this is just their 3rd year of their partnership. They were 5th at their Grand Prix events. second at Warsaw Cup and third at Nebelholm Trophy. They were fourth in the standings for the ISU Challenger Series. Ice dance is really competitive in the U.S., and it's been amazing for Madison Chalk and Evan Bates to kind of lead Team USA through this time, but I think there are teams that are ready to kind of push to try to take over that leadership position or up into the medals. Emily Ann Vadim won the Pewter Medal at Nationals in 2023, finished sixth yet last year. They're definitely in the mix at this competition for a medal again.
They have one of the most beautiful free dances, for me, at least, this season. I'm looking forward to seeing it in person. So I definitely think they've got the material that they can definitely push themselves. Back to Emily and Ian, I love their free dance too and was disappointed they didn't get to do it at Worlds. So I'm glad they kept it this season. And that's another really good program. So it's going to come down to... whoever is just, it's going to be close.
It's going to be,
points and stuff, but it's whoever's just going to skate the best that day. And another one who has a really good, we're going to talk about them too, is Caroline Green and Michael Parsons. I like their free dance as well. So a lot of good free dances this season.
I think people forget Emilia Zingis. She's not been ice dancing very long. And look at how far she's come in just such a short time. I feel like they're a team that's on the cusp of breaking through. And this could be the event that they do it. And you mentioned Caroline Green and Michael Parsons. Green and Parsons got a later start this season. They were sixth at Cup of China. They were fourth at NHK Trophy. They were the Pewter medalists last year at the as championships. I think people expected them to be higher just because they had been the silver medalist in 2023. It just didn't happen. It was a growing season for them because they changed coaches in the off season and it takes time to adjust. I mean, we've talked about that before with Christina and Anthony. And yes, Caroline and Michael this year have a free dance that was choreographed by Jean-Luc Baker. And it's set to Spiegel, I'm Spiegel, and Dance Me to the End of Love. And it's similar, or it's got a similar vibe to their 2022 free dance that was so popular, but it's a little different, but I like what this choreography does for them, and I really appreciate the work that Jean-Luc did with them. I can't round out the dance discussion without talking about a couple of other teams that could have an impact here as well. Ava Pate and Logan Bai, and Una Brown and Gage Brown, they both have the potential to be in the mix as well. And our senior debut, Leonessa and Artem Markalov.
Yeah. And see, here's where this schedule does a disadvantage to the dance event, because some of these teams we're talking about here, you may see them like in the first group or the second group there, because you only are going to see five in that last group and someone who's just on maybe like a few points, because we know how dance is they're all really close and it could be less than a point separates fifth and sixth, and also separates from you being in that last group or that second to last group and being earlier in the morning. You're got some strong teams who just may
miss out
and being in that final group and being feeling like they're a part of the event instead of being like a separate sort of event. Because that's how I kind of feel like the schedule is.
It's not preferred.
No.
It's not preferred. But I know that these competitors will do their very best and make the most of the situation. I just think that if you're a team that is in this mix and you make mistakes in the rhythm dance, it's going to take you out of the final group. And I think the focus is really going to be on getting into that final group. Let's talk about the pairs, which is not split. So I'm happy for the pairs competitors that they're not split. Having a split schedule.
Yep, and not split. And if you live in the Wichita area, Saturday night is pairs. So if you're looking for something to do Saturday night, come and check out the pairs. I think with the pairs, for me at least, Cam and Danny O'Shea kind of come in as like maybe the favorites, but I don't think it's, I think it's anyone's game, basically. But Ellie and Danny are the reigning U.S. champions. They're only in their third season together. Now, they had a really good fall season. They qualified for the Grand Prix final. They were fifth there. They won silver at Skate America, third at NHK Trophy. They were 11th at Worlds last year, and they won the bronze medal at Four Continents. So they're just looking to kind of continue on how well they've done this fall season. So, and they're looking to defend their title. So they're kind of the favorites. But again, I feel like it's kind of anyone's game here. Emily Chan and Spencer Howe, this is their first full season back since Spencer's shoulder injury. They did not compete the free skate at Nationals last season. If you recall, they just did the short and then withdrew after the free. And they didn't do any Grand Prix last season. Now, this season, they just won the silver medal at Golden Spin last month. They were fifth at both of their Grand Prix events, Skate Canada and Finlandia, and they finished just behind Ellie and Danny at Worlds last season, and they finished, they won the silver medal at Four Continents in 2023. So, looking to see actually both programs from Emily and Spencer at Nationals, since we didn't get to see both last season. And again, I would expect them to be possibly on the podium if they skate, you know, well. Alyssa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov, their second season together. Now, this is their first international season because last season they could not compete internationally. They are the reigning U.S. silver medalists, and they had a really good Grand Prix season. Third at Skate America, fourth at the Grand Prix de France, and they were alternates for the final. So I'm expecting them to be in the hunt for a medal, possibly a title. So definitely watch for them. I really like this partnership. They're a very strong team. So definitely ones to watch for. A new team that is quite impressive so far, we haven't seen a lot of them, would be Audrey Shin and Balaj Naj. Now, they teamed up in May, and Balaj competed last season with Chelsea Liu, who is not competing right now to prioritize her mental health. And Audrey was a single skater, so she is competing in her first nationals as a pair skater. And they just finished behind Emily and Spencer at Golden Spin. So it's interesting here. I said this team looks good from the very little that we've seen of them. So definitely keep an eye out for them. I could expect them to be up there kind of creating some waves. Katie McBeath and Daniel Parkman are in their second season together. Now, just like Alicia and Misha, they couldn't compete internationally last season either. And unfortunately they were in medal contention last year at Nationals, but then Katie suffered a broken blade in practice before the free skate. So they dropped to fifth. They had two Grand Prix events this past, fall, fifth at Cup of China and seventh at Skate America. So hoping that no broken blades for Katie at Nationals this year, and they are able to skate two good programs. We have two teams making their senior debut, Naomi Williams and Lachlan Luer. Now, they are the reigning world junior bronze medalists, so they're coming up from the juniors. And Sydney Cook and Matthew Kennedy also making their senior debut. We did a little article on them over at FSO. Sydney did compete at senior nationals with her previous partner, but this is their first senior nationals as a team. So, again, pairs event. there's probably some other pairs in there that could, you know, be ones to try to push for the podium, but it's kind of anyone's game, mm-hmm. As I say, but, you know, Ellie and Danny kind of come in as that favorite as being the reigning champions and for qualifying for the final this year, so.
I think Ellie and Danny continue to improve with each outing. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in how they're going to, what they're going to present to us at this competition and having everyone in the mix together, because sometimes that just pushes you to push yourself even harder.
All right, Daphne, the final event, the one we have to wait until Sunday for, which again, I still, with the schedule here, the men don't start until Saturday and then they go Saturday, Sunday. Pairs is the ones that get the day off. Because mm-hmm. the women start Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Pairs are Thursday, Saturday. And dance is Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how they determine. This is just.
I don't know. I'm so here. Interested.
How they determine which discipline gets the day off.
Yeah. Logistically, I'm so interested, like, in how they put this together. Like, it's yeah. very intriguing.
We should get,
to
like,
me.
A behind the scenes of how a schedule for nationals is determined. Like, could they give us, like, a
You
inside?
Know, I may know someone who doesn't have anything to do with the national schedule, but does put schedules together for other events. I may ask her about this, because I'm interested in knowing.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the men's event, I mean, what have we not said about world champion Ilya Malinin, okay? I mean, he's very focused on Worlds in Boston. He's our 2024 Grand Prix Final champion. He's already won two U.S. titles. He's looking for his third. You mentioned earlier he has a minor injury with boot issues that was talked about during the media call. He's focused very much on not trying to overtrain and preparing for the World Championships.
Yeah, you know, I was not surprised when he said, I have a minor injury and some boot issues, because this is what he says before every event, basically. Every time he does a media call, he says something like that. And the journalists try to, okay, what is going on? And he keeps that emphasis on, it's minor, it's just minor, mm-hmm. it's just minor. And then he comes out and he does what he does. So I listen to him, I'm like, okay, Ilya, this is your thing. You've got a minor injury, you've got a little mm-hmm. boot issue. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So there's not much else to say. I mean, I think Ilya is Ilya, and it will be exciting to see him go for his third title. Jason Brown had maybe a disappointing Grand Prix season, 7th at NHK, 8th at Skate Canada. It was his first Grand Prix season since the 2021-22 season, which was the Olympic season. He's looking for his 9th U.S. medal, 10th if you count Pewter in 2022. He was 5th at Worlds last year. Jason does seem to know when it's time to peak in a season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested if at this competition, we will see that Jason Brown, the one that comes in and peaks at this time.
Yeah, I kind of wondered with him if, because this was his first Grand Prix since the 2022 Olympics, if he just wasn't ready yet. Because he does do a lot of shows in the summer and he travels quite a bit. And maybe he was continuing that sort of schedule. And then he was trying to prepare for the Grand Prix at the same time, and it just wasn't working. So hopefully he's taken this time since his last Grand Prix to really kind of train and get himself in prepared, because it was hard to watch him skate and not skate well at his Grand Prix events. But I was thinking he's just not. Right, like the past few seasons, he hasn't competed this early.
Yeah.
So hoping he's going to put out his Jason Brown style programs that brings the crowd, and I hope there is a big crowd in Wichita, to their feet, because that's what Jason does. People love Jason, and so that's what I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping he skates well in Wichita.
Yeah, me too. So Andrew Torgashev, actually, his Grand Prix season exceeded expectations. He got his first Grand Prix medal. He was third at Grand Prix de France. He finished fourth at NHK Trophy. He was fifth at last year's U.S. Championships after being on the podium the year before. I am excited to see what he puts out in Wichita because I feel like he is on the right track. He put himself in an upward swing this season and, you know, maybe Wichita's going to be a lucky place for him. We'll see. We have to talk about Jacob Sanchez, who is making his senior debut at Nationals. He won the Junior Grand Prix Final. He was 10th at Junior Worlds last year, 4th at the Youth Olympics last year, but did not compete at Nationals because, of course, Youth Olympics and Nationals last year were kind of happening at the same time, so it didn't work to compete at both. And so you had to make a decision if you were assigned to the Youth Olympics. You couldn't do Nationals. Kamden Pulkkinen, last year's bronze medalist, 9th and 11th at his Grand Prix events. He's working full-time in finance in New York City while training. That is a lot to handle, and so I'm interested to see how he is balancing that, because it takes time to be able to adjust to a full-time job that you're still learning. I mean, I think about what it's like when you start a new job and you're dealing with all the new things you have to learn.
I know, and I can't even, because I'm like even trying to think, and this may be questions that I will ask him when I get to Wichita, but if he's living, you know, in New York City and how far he's got to travel to his job, because, you know, maybe he's not in the area where his job is, and so he's, you know, taking either a train or a subway, and how much time he's actually at the rink. I don't know how he's doing it. There's a lot of questions I kind of have based on the fact that I'm just hearing that this is the kind of schedule he's doing. So I don't know how he's doing it, so hopefully he got some more time here to train a little bit for Nationals.
So we also have to mention Maxim Nemov. He was fourth at the last two national championships. He had one Grand Prix, which was Skate America, where he finished 7th. And we have senior debuts from, as we mentioned, Jacob Sanchez, Lucius Kazanecki, and Beck Strummer.
Yeah, and Lucius, I just did an interview with him. He trains with Ilya. So if you want to learn more about him, go to FSO and check that out. You never know. Some of those skaters that train with Ilya can put out some really good skates at Nationals. Sarah Everhart, one from last year. So you might want to keep an eye on him because, you know, he's watching someone who's doing quad axles and everything else under the sun. So it may, you know, rub off on his skating.
Yeah. So before we sign off, we do want to go over some of the junior competitors that are competing in Wichita, because it's going to be an exciting event in its own right.
Yeah, so a couple names to watch out for in the junior women's event. Sophie Jolene Von Felten, she won the Junior Grand Prix in Slovenia. She was 13th at the Junior Grand Prix in China. That was a last-minute assignment for her after she did so well at her first JGP. They gave her a second JGP, and that might have not been her best skates, but she did have that highest score of 3 sectionals. She won Eastern, so she's one to definitely watch if you're going to be at the junior women's event or if you want to watch on Peacock. Annika Chow was 2nd at the Pacific Coast sectionals. She was 8th at Junior Grand Prix Latvia. Amelia Nemirovsky was 4th last year at the junior women's event. She won Midwesterns. She was 10th at her Junior Grand Prix in Turkey. Cleo Park was 3rd at last year's junior women's nationals, won Pacific Coast sectionals, and was 11th at the Junior Grand Prix in Poland. Jia Ying, Elise Johnson, Jessica Jerka, and Sophie Bezkoronaya are other skaters to look out for. The top novice to watch, because remember there are novice competitors competing in the women and men's event, is Skylar Lutawa Pereiro. Now, her name may ring a bell because she is the daughter of Lindsay Thorngren's coach, Yulia Lutawa. She won advanced novice at Santa Claus Cup not too long ago. So another one to watch out for in the junior women's event. I hope to be in Wichita, as long as all my flights are good. I hope to be there on Thursday. Well, I hope to be there Wednesday, but I'm planning to be at the junior women's free skate on Thursday morning. So I look forward to seeing some of these competitors and chatting with them after they skate. So it should be a good junior women's event.
So in ice dance, Eliana Peel and Ethan Peel were sixth at the junior Grand Prix final, including a win at the junior Grand Prix at Wuxie. They were fifth at last year's World Junior Championships and third at the U.S. Championships at junior. Hannah Maria Aboyan and Danielle Vasilukin, this is a first year team who kind of set the junior dance world on fire this season. They were second at their JGP in Thailand and third in Turkey, and they won the ice dance final. They were second alternates for the junior Grand Prix final. Caroline Mullen and Brendan Mullen were first alternates for the junior Grand Prix final, second at the ice dance final, where Caroline was dealing with a little bit of an illness, second at JGP Latvia, and third at JGP Slovenia. And then Olivia Illen and Dylan Kane, they won a silver medal at the Youth Olympics last year. They did not compete at nationals, as we talked about with Jacob Sanchez. They were fourth and seventh at their JGPs and third at the ice dance final. Now, I should mention that Katerina Wolf-Kostin and Dmitry Serevsky, who won silver at the junior Grand Prix final, are not competing at the junior level at this competition. They are moving up to senior at nationals.
Well, in the junior pairs event, Olivia Flores and Luke Wang look to win their second U.S. title. They are the reigning U.S. junior champions, and they won silver at the junior Grand Prix final. Now, only two teams competed at nationals last season in the junior pairs event, and that would be Seiya Carpenter and John Maravella, and Reagan Moss and Jacob Gobalvi. Now, Reagan and Jacob were second at the pairs final. Seiya and John had an injury at the pairs final, and so they were at the bottom. They needed to just kind of compete in order to go to nationals. But really, in the pairs event, it's going to be a lot of new teams. Elizabeth Hansen and William Church, they won the pairs final. They had two junior Grand Prix events. They were fourth in Poland and fifth in Turkey. And Addison McDonald and Aaron Felderbaum, they were third at the pairs final and second at Taysai Trophy, the junior event, and seventh at the junior Grand Prix in Turkey. So a lot of new faces in the junior pairs event, except for some of those teams that competed last season, and including the champions who are coming back again and looking to take another title.
And rounding it out with the men's event, Alexander Fagan is the only junior medalist from last season still competing in junior. He won Eastern Sectionals. Patrick Blackwell, who was second at the Czech Republic Junior Grand Prix event and sixth at Junior Grand Prix at Wuxie, was third at Eastern Sectionals. Lorenzo Alano had the highest total score of all three sectionals. He competed at mids. He was sixth last year at Junior Nationals. And Vaclav Vasquez is the winner of Pacific Coast Sectionals. He was ninth last year at Junior Nationals. Gina, I think this is set up to be a pretty incredible Nationals week, and I am looking forward to us being on site in Wichita to be able to do some recording, watch some great skating. I'm going to take some photos. You're going to do some interviews, and we're just going to have a great week. Weather be willing. So I'm very excited. I've been reading one of the figure skating message boards, and One of the things that I just saw is that it's C-O-L-D in Wichita. So I was planning to bring gloves and a hat.
Nothing new.
So, nothing new.
I may have actually went and bought boots today. Not that I don't own a pair of boots, but my boots that I've been wearing have been kind of like the laces are all busted and stuff. So I was like, oh, I think I'll go and get some boots that are not boots for like a foot of snow, but boots that are good for just walking in if it's wet or cold or icy or whatever. So I did go and buy boots, but I'm prepared with the heavy coat, the gloves, the hat, nothing new. Yes, it's supposed to be very cold here when I leave. So
yeah,
but then I was seeing like 40s, 30s, high 30s, 40s, which for me is like a heat wave. And as long as it's not snowing and the sun's out, nah, that's fine. I'll take it.
You know what? According to my weather app on my iPhone.
Okay.
That says there's a winter storm warning in Maine. And that it's 7 degrees in Lake Placid.
Oh, geez. Yep.
Wichita is showing 14 degrees at this current time. Okay. However, later in the week, it's showing 28 to 47 degrees for the time that we're going to be there. So I think it's really cold today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, and then it should warm up.
But I do want people who, if you're already in Wichita, which, you know, I would have asked you if you were going tomorrow, but, or I still plan to ask you when you get to the rink on Tuesday. I'd like a temperature report of the temperature in the arena. Like, are you cold? Are you needing to wear, like, three layers? Are you sitting there with your gloves on? Is it really, really cold? Because then I can just kind of prepare. I mean, I'm packed because I didn't want to be worrying about it. I'm, quote, off tomorrow for Martin Luther King, but I need to do some work. And then I do have to work Tuesday. And then my flight is really early Wednesday morning, so I packed. So I have what I'm planning to wear, but if I'm hearing it's a little bit colder than, like, it was like Columbus, I'm prepared for, like, Columbus temperature.
Yeah.
But if I need to be prepared even more, let me know. Like, say, hey, Gina, pack an extra, like, pair of socks because you need to wear two pairs of socks because your feet are going to be cold. Like, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Absolutely. Well, we will bring you what we can from Wichita.
If you're in Wichita and you see us roaming around, come say hi.
Yeah.
We'll be around.
Yeah, we will definitely be here, there, and everywhere.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.